We did just get news, as Karen was talking about, the House passing Biden's economic plan, the $1.65 trillion economic agenda. We saw images of members of the House, Democratic members, I should say, jumping up and down and cheering. Jack Fitzpatrick covering it all, Bloomberg government reporter. So the cheering, is this a show? Is this basically trying to show a win for a Democratic Party that has been battered by perceived inaction?
On one hand, yes, there is some symbolism in this. And yes, keep in mind that this is House passage, but they know that it's going to go to the Senate. It's difficult to pass it in the Senate, and they know that it would be changed at least slightly, so this wouldn't even be the final House vote. So yes, the fact that it's some good news, it is a show that Democrats, an ability for Democrats to display an accomplishment, that's part of it. But I also wouldn't downplay the fact that this is a significant step forward in the legislative process. They managed to get that majority in the House with so many difficulties with moderate members. To get to 220 votes on a House floor vote was not an easy thing for them to do, and this probably solidifies some members' investment in moving this forward. So it is more than just a show. It is a step forward in the legislative process, even though we're not at the finish line yet.
All right, Jack, what do we need to do to get to the finish line? What do you expect? What changes, I guess, do you expect when this bill gets to the Senate?
Well, first of all, because they are passing this through the Senate or attempting to through the budget reconciliation process that allows them to do it with a simple majority, there are a ton of procedural issues that the bill needs to go through just to ensure that it complies with the rules of that process. They put it through what's called a bird bath, named after Robert Byrd, who created this reconciliation process, just to ensure that if there's anything in this bill that isn't allowed to pass through that process, it needs to be taken out. So for one thing, it may be very minor issues, but the fact that it's virtually guaranteed to undergo some changes means that it will come back to the House if they pass it in the Senate, and they'll need to vote on that final version. In a bigger sense, The sticking point right now that they're still working on in the Senate is the decision to raise the cap on state and local tax deductions. There still are conversations going on. Bernie Sanders is calling for some sort of limit on capping the amount that people can make in order to do this, so that it isn't essentially a de facto tax cut for the wealthiest people in blue states, which is something the progressives are trying to avoid. So that's the major issue that they're still at least considering changes on.
Jack, taking a step back, is there any takeaway about the ability for the Democrats to come together in terms of bridging some of the differences and what this could mean going forward about lifting the debt ceiling and other provisions?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it shows that they can manage almost unanimity. They got 220 votes in the House, where they have 221 members. Jared Golden of Maine was the only Democrat to vote no. And even he signaled that depending on the state and local tax deduction changes that may be made, he could potentially get on board. So this shows that everybody you've heard about in the House, Josh Gottheimer, Stephanie Murphy, Ed Case, Kurt Schrader, all these moderates who made a lot of noise about the issues they had with it, they can get on board, and you can conceivably see them getting 50 out of 50 votes in the Senate. So it is a sign that they can manage something close to unanimity, and that does matter for a lot of what they have coming up. They're going to need to rally the troops on the debt limit, which they may need to do through the reconciliation process in a partisan way without Republican support. It's not going to be easy for them to fund the government in December or do a defense authorization bill. But for all we've heard about the Democrats struggling to circle the wagons, this is a pretty impressive whipping operation to get 220 out of 221 members for this vote.
All right, Jack. So Nancy Pelosi has done her job. Does all attention now focus on Chuck Schumer in the Senate?
Yes. And really, at this point, even more than Chuck Schumer and the leaders and their ability to whip votes, we really are still watching Bernie Sanders, who has been vocal about those potential state and local tax deduction changes. He's had some conversations with Bob Menendez of New Jersey to see what kind of changes they can make. It's not entirely clear how that's going to go. But Sanders, Menendez, Michael Bennett is one who's also fighting against the state of play on the salt cap right now. So there's going to be, I think, and of course with Manchin and Sinema, there's going to be a conversation among senators more at the rank and file level to see who's happy and who's unhappy. And then it's up to leadership to try to make whatever changes need to happen and try to keep everybody in line for a 50 out of 50 vote.
All right, Jack, thanks so much for joining us, giving us that update here. We got the passage in the House, and now all attention will turn to the Senate. And Jack has got his finger on the pulse of all things down in Washington. Jack Fitzpatrick, Bloomberg government reporter.